Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
The Volume.
The Three and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. America's number one sportsbook, very easy to use, safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. I cannot recommend it enough. Love gambling with FanDuel. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Colin so they know we sent you. What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. Even though if you're listening to this, it's probably Wednesday. Love Thanksgiving. Love turkey. Love stuffing, love mashed potatoes, love it all. I plan on eating a lot of food. Hope everyone's doing good. This podcast is basically just a gambling podcast with Stucky. Had him on, talked about the games on Thursday. We hit on the Michigan-Ohio State game. We also hit on a couple games on Sunday. I'll do about 5 minutes on what happened Monday. And then we'll just dive right into Stucky. So Three and Out Podcast, make sure you subscribe. If you listen on Colin's feed, Middlecoff Mailbag, at John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs. Greatly appreciate everyone that has. And should have a mailbag out on Sunday, and we'll get back rocking to a normal schedule post-Thanksgiving. I think what we witnessed on Monday is, and I got really frustrated a couple weeks ago with Kyle when they played the Chargers. Of you now have an all-star team. McCaffrey said a couple weeks ago that he got in the huddle and he looked around and he thought he was in the Pro Bowl. He sees Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Brandon Ayuk is a Pro Bowl level player. So the 49ers, and listen, I love establishing a physical identity, and Kyle has brought that because he loves running the football. He loves slamming it down your throat. It's a big reason they beat the Cowboys and they beat the Packers last year, two road games as big underdogs. And it's a reason that a couple years ago that they went to the Super Bowl. So I'm not anti-running the ball. But I also think because of the rules, and you're not playing with Zach Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo is a capable player, you can spread it out and you don't have to throw go routes. It's not like you're playing with Randy Moss. Run little slants. Run quick outs. Get the ball to Deebo, get the ball to Kittle, get the ball to Ayuk, and get the ball to Christian McCaffrey. And they can't stop you. Most teams in the history of good defenses may have two good corners. The majority of teams in the NFL have one good corner. Hell, the Eagles are somewhat outliers. They got two pretty good starting corners. But the 49ers are absolutely loaded with offensive skill guys. And they have a really physical, good defense. So if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play solid and Kyle is willing to just throw the ball a little more, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. They really are. And the reason they play in so many tight games, I would say this year and last year, is Kyle's unwillingness sometimes to let Jimmy throw the ball. And I understand he can make you a little nervous, but if you just trust him, which Kyle did last night, he destroyed. Now, I understand they're beat up. And the Arizona Cardinals, it's like, you know, They were a wounded animal, right? Sometimes the Lions chase that healthy zebra and they expend all that energy or the gazelle and they don't catch it and they're exhausted. And sometimes they look and there's just a wounded zebra or a water buffalo with a broken leg. And they go, you know what? We're just going to go kill this thing that's really easy. And that's what the 49ers did. They got a team that was in shambles and they beat the living shit out of them. But that's what they should do because they're absolutely loaded with talent. And here's the pressure on the 49ers. They have the same record right now as Seattle. They're technically in first place because they beat Seattle earlier in the season. Under no circumstances. And what Pete and John have done in Seattle is awesome. It's an all-time FU season. Because everyone in the media, most fans, were all guilty. Thought they were going to suck and Russell Wilson was going to kill it. And it's been the opposite. But they're doing it with a lot of young rookie players in Geno Smith. There is a tangible pressure on Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers to win this division. They have star players. They have a much better roster than Seattle. So right now, after 10 games, they're both tied. Both 6-4. Kyle Shanahan has to win this division. He has the better team. He has the more potent high-end players. There is just no excuse. And if Seattle makes the playoffs as a wild card, which they probably should, get to 9 or 10 wins, it's an incredible season. But if somehow Seattle wins the division and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers win a wild card, that's a major disappointment. Because Seattle's high end is not the 49ers' high end. Hell, the 49ers' B game should be much better than Seattle's B game. We actually saw the 49ers play Seattle, and they beat the living crap out of them. So I don't feel like I wouldn't put my life savings on it because I trust Pete Carroll and Kyle, and the 49ers can be somewhat of a roller coaster ride. But I think, as we saw last night, that the 49ers have absolutely no excuse not to win this division. And what once was the best division in football, I mean, last year they got three teams in the playoffs. They had the two teams in the NFC Championship game. Earlier in the decade, you know, when the Seattle was humming and the Harbaugh was humming and Bruce Arians got there, this division has been potent. Right now, it's not. The LA Rams are in shambles. Who knows if they're going to win again? Who knows? I mean, I don't know what Matt Stafford is playing for. He's got $300 million in the bank, like all these concussions, elbow injuries. Like, bro, you won a Super Bowl? Right off into the sunset. The Rams are screwed. And the Arizona Cardinals are also screwed. Both those two teams, and I don't blame the LA Rams at all for giving Matt Stafford an extension. Like, it's what you do. He threw 45 touchdowns. You won the Super Bowl. I get it. But it backfired. Sometimes you make a calculated risk that makes a lot of sense, and a year later, you're like, yeah, I kind of regret that. We talked about the moment the Cardinals gave Kyler the extension. It made no sense. Absolutely none to anyone except Kyler, Kyler's family, and Kyler's agent. It did not make sense for the Cardinals. It did not make sense to any team around the league. It was a ultimate head-scratcher. It's already blown up in their face. If you watch Hard Knocks, you go, yeah, wouldn't want this guy leading my team. But there's another element to Kyler. He hasn't played in the league that long, yet he's always hurt. He was hurt last year. Colt McCoy had to play. He's missing games again this year. So, as we saw when he was on the field, wasn't playing as well as we once thought he was going to become. And now he's injury prone, and he's not Mr. Leader, and now you're tied to him for $45 million a year for the next several years. Cardinals are just royally screwed. And they do have some high-end players. Hopkins is a stud. When Hollywood Brown's around, he's pretty good. James Conner, like that guy. Zach Ertz had a major season ender. He's really good. Buda Baker could play for my team any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Love that guy. He's one of my favorite players in the league. But they're not going to win many games, man. I mean, they are just they're wounded. Even when healthy, we don't really trust the quarterback. And listen, Cliff Kingsbury, if you watch Hard Knocks, good guy. I've said it for a long time. I have no... Whenever I'm hard on these coaches, I don't know them personally. I mean, most of them. Like, I don't know Brandon Staley or Sark. I just don't think they're good at their job. I can separate, like, they're probably a good guy, good father, good person, you know, well-liked by their friends. Would not want them coaching my team. Same thing with Cliff Kingsbury. He is just, last year, do you know what it turns out? Was an outlier season. Check his resume at Texas Tech, then now check his resume with the Cardinals. He loses a lot. You can get, well, he's Texas Tech. Yeah, I saw Mike Leach at Texas Tech. Won a lot more than him. So this notion that, like, last year was the start of something, no, it turned out You know, being successful in any industry is not about having one good year. Anyone can turn 100 grand into a bull market and take 100 grand and turn it into 500 if you hit a couple of the right stocks, right? Any coach, if you just catch lightning in a bottle, can win 9, 10 games, make the playoffs one season. In 5 years, how many times you make the playoffs? What's your team look like year in, year out? How do you sustain success? That's the hardest thing to do in life, is every single year be consistent and be successful. It's difficult, right? It's why in the NFL, only a small percentage of coaches and a small percentage of quarterbacks win every single year. Most guys do not. Most guys get fired. Most guys get replaced. It's hard. You know, it's not like Cliff is not a high-level guy, a smart guy, understands offense. He's just not very good at his job when it comes to being a head coach. Might probably be a good offensive coordinator. Hell, was once upon a time with Johnny Manziel, Mike Evans with Texas A&M, and they were fun. They were cool. There's nothing wrong with being a number two in the NFL, right? There just isn't. It pays seven figures. Most industries do not. And I think we're seeing it with Arizona. Like, they're just historically a pretty bad organization. They made a horrendous move to extend the quarterback, and you could even argue like extending the coach, and now it's backfired. And now they feel like they're up Schitt's Creek and they don't have a paddle. Where are they going to go? I'll tell you, nowhere. Back at it again with my man Stucky's Hot, 22-16-1, and we're coming down the home stretch. This is what Brian Kelly say, October is for pretenders, November is for contenders. You just push it back a month in the NFL, so it's December. Big month coming up, starting Turkey Day. Now, once we get to this time of year, we start getting some of the Saturday games. You just got to have your head on a swivel. You never know when these games are going to be. So we got some 3 Thursday night games. We got a slate of Sunday games. We got Monday night football. We got a big Saturday. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, I might have to ask you about. But you can find Stucky, Action Network Podcast. You can find him on Big Bets on Campus as well. Go subscribe. Follow him on Twitter. He's always tweeting. This game, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited. You know, I'd say for the last a long time, the Lions take a lot of shit, right? They just, this is their Super Bowl, the Turkey Day game. Are they that good? No, but they are an entertaining watch. They have some good young players. I don't know if Jameson Williams is actually going to play. I know he practiced a couple days ago. The Bills did not go back to Buffalo, right? They just stayed in Detroit.
No, they went back to Buffalo. They wanted to get,
that's a little weird,
their beds for a couple of nights. Yeah, it was a tumultuous week. They, like, a lot of the guys on the team basically sat from Wednesday to Saturday, didn't practice, were stuck in their house, and then flew to Detroit and then flew back so they could sleep in their beds, which I thought was odd. Why not just stay there?
I agree. I mean, this girl that I worked with at Fresno State is married to Ryan Wendell. He used to be an offensive lineman. He's the guy that next to Brian Daboll and now Ken Dorsey with the big beard. And yeah, they couldn't get their cars out. So on Instagram, she posted this picture. He was walking to work in the snow. That was the only way he could get on Saturday to the plane. And a lot of players, obviously, the Bills tweeted out. So they have had a fucked up time. Now, they took care of business Sunday. But you saw that speech, Dan Campbell. They're kind of feeling themselves right now. To me, this is I think this line, and I understand when the Bills are on, they could destroy the Lions, but that's a lot of points given how the Lions are playing. I'm going to hammer the Lions in this game.
Yeah, I think it's Lions or nothing here. I mean, the Bills historically, with Allen over the past couple of years, when they win by double digits. But that's not been the case of late because there's a couple things going on with the Bills right now. One, Allen definitely isn't fully healthy with his elbow. And what I think is happening, like, it's a pain management thing. I'm assuming he's getting a shot and like maybe an hour before the game. And then, you know, eventually it kicks in. But last week, which is why like he's had some really slow starts since the injury. Last week, they didn't get a first down until like midway through the second quarter. They couldn't do anything against a bad Browns defense. And then finally they kind of turned it on. So that could be huge, right? You basically have a quarter where your offense does nothing. So we'll see if he changes up the timing there, but more importantly, it's the defense. The Bills' defense right now is just banged up. I mean, I don't know when Trey White's coming back, but, you know, Edmonds has been hurt. You know, then they're missing a lot of their edge rushers. Russo is out. Epineza got hurt. And their entire secondary, right? I mean, you already lost Micah Hyde. Elam, your rookie corner, is out. So it's not the same defense that we knew early in the year where they were just getting a ton of pressure. So they had all kinds of edge guys. Now it's just like, who can you really count on besides Von Miller? Now you're going up against a really good offensive line. And then there's just holes on the back end. I mean, they made Zach Wilson look like kind of competent in their game against the Jets, which is really hard to do a couple weeks ago. Brissett threw for 300. I mean, the Browns had 400 yards last week. They just turned it over once. They didn't get a fourth down once. They kept trying to sneak it behind their backup center two plays in a row. So, yeah, this isn't the same Bills defense. And with the uncertainty around Allen's elbow, like, okay, does he take a hit too later in the game and then it starts to hurt again? Does he have another slow start? Yeah, I think it's Lions or nothing. The Lions offense has been very good all year when they've been healthy, right? When you have, you know, I don't know if Swift's 100% healthy, but most importantly, St. Brown and that offensive line. So yeah, I think the Lions will be feisty here. And then when you're catching double digits in the NFL, there's always a chance for a backdoor.
Yeah.
And the Lions are the king.
And they can score points, you know?
Yep. Yeah, especially against this D. It's just not the same pass rush. And they'll be fine, assuming they get fully healthy by the playoffs. You got to get Russo back, Epineza. You got to have, you know, all of your linebackers, and then Trey White in your corner. Like, it's just a mash unit right now. So, yeah, I think it's Lions or nothing.
And think how good Dan Campbell feels every time he checks the standings and sees the Rams, you know, sinking like a rock. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
that might be a top five pick. Okay. The Giants came back to earth. But, you know, sometimes when I look at these Thursday games, it's like, well, who was, you know, the traveling team, but they just played at home. The Cowboys, pretty long flight from Minnesota, right? I mean, that's not you just a 45-minute flight. And I just saw on Twitter, McCarthy said they're dealing with guys are sick. You know, so this is, you know, short week. They just beat the shit out of them, but it's Thanksgiving. Remember last year, pretty heavy favorites got beat by the Raiders, who were rich and, you know, Bisaccia and a bunch of dudes in jail and guys injured. So you never know with these Cowboys. Now, that being said, obviously the Cowboys, if they both just play a B game, the Cowboys should win. But the line's pretty big for a team. You know, give the Giants some credit, obviously, this season. They keep games close. I guess I would go with the Giants. I don't have a great feel for this just because I don't totally trust the Cowboys in this spot.
Yeah, the problem here is, look, I mean, the Giants were, if you look at their defense right now, I mean, their defense hasn't been that good all year. It's, you know, schematically, they've been able to cover up some things. But the scariest part to me is, I mean, look, the Lions kind of ripped them apart last week. The scarier aspect is 2 weeks ago, they gave up, I think, close to 400 yards to the Texans, who, you know, I went 3-1 on the show last week. We should count that as 0-4 because I bet the Texans last week. They had 5 yards in the first half. But they averaged like 6.5 yards per 6.5 yards per play. Well, at least it was more yards than the Jets had in the second half. I think I saw the Jets average 2.4 inches per play in the second half. So, yeah, but the problem with the Giants now is your Adoree Jackson has been one of the best corners in the NFL. He's out a month. Their other corner, starting corner on the outside, Fabian Moreau, he might not play. You're already missing Xavier McKinney, your safety, to a
Cabo hand injury.
Yeah, and like, so you might be down to like Nick McLeod. You already lost Aaron Robinson, who was starting outside corner early in the year. Nick McLeod and like a rookie Cordell Flott on the outside. That's really scary. And then on the other side of the ball, it's like,
okay, no receivers.
Wandell Robinson and Shepard are on IR. They're counting on Richie James to play slot. He's hurt. Your center Feliciano got hurt on Sunday. Your right tackle Neal didn't play. He's questionable. His backup got hurt last week. The left guard they started last week, they benched. Bellinger, their tight end, I don't think is going to play. Like, you're counting on Kenny Galladay and like Isaiah Hodgins this week. So you're just going to have to be a heavy dose of Saquon and Daniel Jones making plays with his legs. Jones has been great in this spot on the road. I think he's 10-0 against the spread as a dog of under nine points on the road. But I just they are so beat up. But it's a lot of points in a divisional game. But I just can't back this team right now just because of all of the injuries. I have no idea who's going to play. And especially at cornerback, it's going to be really tough for the Giants.
I'm telling you, bro, Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, Commanders, Vikings, Colts, Eagles. The G-men, I have nothing. They could lose out, and I tip my hat to Brian Daboll, but it's losing out is on the table, right? When you factor in injuries, when you factor in just running out of gas, when you factor in all the one-score close games they've won. I mean, it's – and now just their schedule. It's like the Commanders are dramatically better than them right now. Obviously, the Eagles are – I mean, the Colts, that game feels like a 13-10 final score, but that's, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Agreed.
And last but not least, I mean, this game is actually pretty big. New England, it's weird. Like, are they good? They're good because I trust Bill Belichick. Defense is going to be solid. They're going to stay in games. But their offense, I mean, it's like I'm not a Mac Jones guy. I think it's going to be very difficult to win 10 games when you just struggle to score points. Now, I understand the Jets' defense is good, but that game was in New England. You know, it's like it's one thing to road game, struggling to score at home. You can't score points. Mac Jones just has not played well this year. Now, Minnesota, you just get your – I mean, it's one of the biggest ass-kickings of the year. Might be just from the eye test the biggest ass-kicking I've seen this year. Maybe that or the Chiefs against the Niners. Short week, it's at home. You would think the place would be going berserk. But Cousins, prime time, everyone watching against the hoodie. This game feels like it's probably going to be closer than it should.
Yeah, I like if you're into teasers, I like teasing the Patriots up anytime you can tease a dog from 2.5 to up. But going against everything you said, Cousins in primetime, the Patriots' offensive struggles, I actually bet the over 42 in this game, which I know scoring is down everywhere. I just think that's too low for a game that's going to be indoors. And I think, look, the Vikings' defense has holes all over. The Cowboys showed that last week. They've played a pretty easy schedule. Anyone with a pulse has gotten to 24, 27. That was starting their quarterback all year on this Vikings defense, which I think the Patriots will have success running it. And I think their offense will look a little better this week. And the Patriots defense, it's always going to be well-schooled. But here, you have a short week here, and they're very young. So they've had some performances that leave you scratching your head. I think there's going to be some like that this year. But I think this is the top of the market on the Patriots defense. I mean, go back about a month ago when they gave up 33 to the Bears at home. But since then, their last four wins have all come against backup quarterbacks. The last 3 weeks, they've played Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger, and Zach Wilson. So, like, obviously, their defense has been extremely dominant. It's a good defense, but it really helps to play those quarterbacks. They've also benefited from some weather conditions, wind, playing outdoors. This is a defense that, if you remember, they gave up, 37 to the Ravens. They gave up 27 to the Packers. They gave up 33 to the Bears. So, I just think this is too low based on what we've seen from the Patriots defense lately. And then I think that the Patriots offense will, have a pulse here against the Vikings defense that I just don't think is very good.
Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up using the promo code COLIN. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from moneyline to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Get paid your winnings fast. So sign up today with promo code COLIN for your no-sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bet $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat, Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana, or 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-888-9789, Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming, visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we dive into a couple Sunday games, I just want to ask you about a game that last year lived up to the hype. I mean, Harbaugh finally get over the hump. I think I heard, you probably know the stat, I don't think Michigan's won at Ohio State in like two decades. I think 22, you know, in 22 years. You know, 7.5 points. It sounds like Blake Corum is going to be healthy. Corum, who's a stud. Obviously, he got dinged up in that game. Now, Illinois' defense is pretty good. I'm biased on this one. I'm rooting for Michigan. It does feel like it's you look up and it's going to be maybe hard for them to hang with them. If Blake is not, I mean, he's been one of the best players in the country, and you know, it's hard to hurt your knee, get pulled out of a game, and just a week later be back to 100%.
Yeah, that's I think one of the keys to the game. It's one of the hardest Michigan Ohio State games I've ever tried to handicap, because if you look at what these teams have done this year, they've obviously been very good, but their schedules have been extremely favorable. So they just have out-talented so many teams.
Because the Big Ten's way down this year, right?
Big Ten's way down. And then also, I mean, you look at Michigan. Michigan's non-conference. We had no data points there. They play like Hawaii, Colorado State.
It's a joke.
Like they have the easiest non-conference strength of schedule in the entire country.
Jesus.
So... Yeah, and the Big Ten is down, and you know, like Michigan did dominate Penn State, but Ohio State like gave up a bunch of points to Penn State. They gave up a bunch of points last week to Maryland. So there's questions about that defense, specifically in the secondary. But McCarthy and that Michigan passing offense have been dreadful for
been
about
bad.
A month. I mean, yeah. he's completing like 45% of his passes. Now they're able to just get away with it because they're feeding Corum, and their backup running back's also Benal, who's a stud, and Donovan Edwards. So if Corum can't go, I mean, when he's on the field, I think I saw a stat. He gets the ball 91% of the time when he's on the field. Like he touches the ball. It is insane. He is their offense. And if he's not fully healthy or can't go, it's going to be a struggle for Michigan to keep up because, you know, the Ohio State offense, it hasn't been as explosive as many thought. And, they're missing the Jigbo is one of the best receivers in the country. Now, Harrison might be the best
stud
receiver in the country, but they've had some, injuries to their running back room, but they still should be able to score points here. And then can Michigan keep up? I don't know. It's hard for me to say just because the lack of data points on what we've seen from these teams against quality competition. But yeah, I mean, it feels like an Ohio State revenge. Michigan was like after last year was talking all kinds of shit, doing it again this week and might not end well. But it's a tough game to handicap. The line's probably about right, which is what that means.
Okay. As of recording this, we don't know for sure who our boy Robert Saleh is going to go with. And My guess is he kind of keeps it quiet throughout the week than just announcing something on Wednesday, but could be wrong there. Clearly, Zach Wilson is terrible. Like he's bad. So I think we'd all be a little stunned if maybe they just don't give him a breather week. Now the Bears, I watched a lot of that game. I mean, he got fucking crunched. He got hit all game, but I mean that shot where he got shot on the shoulder, I thought should have been kind of a late hit. It feels, I know, I think Eberflus said he's day to day, but I mean, it feels like he's been taking a pounding. I read a stat. He leads the league. He's been sacked the most in the league. Obviously he's running it a lot. So he's taken, he has taken hellacious hits. Maybe you might need to give him a breather. So it does feel if they go with the backup quarterback, I mean, the Jets defense can just kind of win the game on their own. If their quarterback can just complete basic wheel routes, you like the Jets in this spot?
I do. I think that, and I'm assuming that Zach Wilson.
Do you think he'll get benched?
Yeah, I do. I think he's either not gonna start, which I wouldn't, or if he's ineffective right away, he's getting pulled, right? And Flacco is an upgrade. I think Mike White might be an upgrade at this point. I don't think you can play him, not because he's been so bad, and we've all been screaming how bad he is forever. You're going to lose the locker room. His arrogance, his lack of accountability. Like he was asked, you scored 3 points. And like I said, they had 2.5 inches per play. They had 2 yards in the second half. It was 3-3. He asked, did you let the defense down? He said, no. Like, what do you mean? Like, just say yes. Yeah, we got to do better on offense. It's the easiest answer you could have. And he says, no, we didn't let him down. Of course, like, insane arrogance and lack of accountability, which it doesn't speak well to his leadership ability. And if I'm on the defense, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He can't complete a pass. And I mean, he couldn't complete a basic wheel route. And he's saying, no, I didn't let the defense down. And every week we're going out there and balling out. I mean, the defense is great. They've shown that week in and week out.
And nothing pisses guys off more when a guy's a high pick and then he's also arrogant and he sucks, so he's making a lot of cash. It's the perfect combination for a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, just say, yes, we let him down. Not that difficult. So yeah, I think you got to make the change. So I either think that you're going to get the change beforehand. I would, or if Wilson's bad, right off the bat. Now he's playing against a really bad defense. If he's bad or bad, I think they're going to pull him with the shortest leash ever, or he might be okay. He's playing a bad defense. And then on the other side, yeah, I don't think that it's kind of been a dream season if you're a Bears fan, because the Bears, what you wanted to do is find out about Justin Fields, right? And he's shown that he can, put up massive numbers, and he took a big leap. But you're still losing games.
Yeah,
but you're like losing them close.
Yeah.
So now it's like, all right, I saw what I needed to see with Fields. And they also hinted like, we don't know, it could be season ending. Like just how they're talking about it. Why would you throw him out there? You saw we needed to see your quarterback. You're not going anywhere. Now it's all about, just draft position and keeping him healthy. And now, he was getting hit all day against the Falcons. Now you're going up against a Jets defense, they can get pressure from all over and they can shut down their receivers. So yeah, I think this is a good spot for the Jets where like you said, just complete some wheel routes and the defense will do the rest, especially if they're going against Trevor Siemian, which I think is a better chance than not of being the case.
I'll be honest, I haven't been super locked in on your squad, the Ravens, but every time I look up, they are just in a game that feels like, how is this thing so close? You know, Lamar started fast that first month, but just looking statistically, they have not been as potent offensively. One, what's going on? And this is kind of a weird spot against Jacksonville, who should suck, but I just kind of expect to look up and it's like, oh, it's 10-10 in the third quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Jags have been competitive all year. They've lost, but they have seven losses. Six were by one possession. The seventh was against the Chiefs at Kansas City by 10 when their kicker missed a couple of field goals. So they've been competitive, and they have a bye here, which, you know, historically is worth about a half point, which I think is important, more important in certain cases. Later in the year, they're as healthy as any team in the NFL right now, so they have like no injuries. But also to prepare for like a unique offense like the Ravens, you get 2 weeks to, all right, let's make sure we take out their tight ends and take out Lamar, because that's basically the Ravens offense right now is just a mess. I mean, they really missed Rashad Bateman. They really missed just a reliable running back too. I mean, that's their offense is predicated on running the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not a simple rushing attack. And I mean, last week you had, you know, Kenyon Drake ran 10 times for 40 yards and he missed a couple assignments. And so, you know, you're missing, Mark Andrews has been banged up. Ronnie Stanley, who's been great, he got hurt again. So, yeah, I mean, your receivers on the outside are Devin Duvernay and DeMarcus Robinson and James Prochet. It's not an electric offense. But they need to get they got to get Gus Edwards back eventually and then him get going. And they got to get Mark Andrews fully healthy. They got to hope Stanley's healthy. Their defense is going to be good. It's only going to get better. And you add Roquan Smith. And then you got a bunch of other guys healthy, but yeah, I think that the Jags can be feisty here. The Ravens just aren't a team that's going to build big margin. Like you said, they just play close games. Jags off a bye here. Ravens on a nice winning streak, not against anyone that impressive. And you know, they got the Broncos coming home next week. It's such an easy schedule the rest of the way that they're kind of like in, you saw that last week. They just came out flat. Yeah. To start the game. So I can see that happening here at Jacksonville. Game probably ends field goal.
I'm going to get you out of here on this just because on paper, start the season, it looked like a pretty sweet Sunday night game. Obviously, the Packers are 4-7, but is there any value in the Packers getting 7 points? You know, I know Aaron was really shitty in that Thursday game, but they've had a long layoff now. Eagles just haven't been quite right these last couple weeks. Definitely, I mean, struggling to score. Just feels like 7 points, Aaron Rodgers. Now, I mean, the version we saw on Thursday night, like that was not the normal Aaron Rodgers. Like he missed some pretty layup throws that he used to make in his fucking sleep. So if that's the guy, I mean, it's a little Russell Wilson-esque, like just stay away from that team. But
yeah,
it doesn't feel like it just felt like he was cold. He was off, but who knows? Maybe the season is just shot for him. I just 7 points Green Bay. Maybe I'm living in the past, but it feels like that's a value number.
Yeah, it's Packer nothing there. I, you know, the Eagles have some injuries. Jordan Davis will obviously hurt.
Well, yeah, they can't stop the run. So if you get the, you know, Packers can just run the football.
Lean on here. You know, Eagles play a lot of zone, so you can get Rodgers and some short passes. You know, the Randall Cobb might have a big day in the slot because the Eagles are missing their slot corner is really good in Avante Maddox. They're also missing Dallas Goedert, who I think is really important to their offense.
He's good.
Not only up and down the field, but especially the red zone. I think that's you're seeing that recently. So, yeah, I think it's Packers or nothing. I do have a little hesitation just from that performance. The Titans were playing. They don't have any elite edge rushers. They weren't getting tons of pressure, and they were playing all kinds of backup corners. So all year with this Packers offense, they've had a makeshift offensive line. No one's been healthy. They obviously don't have the best receivers. And so no one has been open. No one's getting separation. And the offensive line isn't protecting Rodgers. So, like, you're seeing these throws where he's just got to get rid of it. But that was, like, one of the first times for a full game. He had time. He had wide open receivers over the middle. So, yeah, could it be one bad game? Of course. But I'm like, all right, wow, this is do I have to downgrade Rodgers and say, like, maybe he's, you know, getting to the – to the end, and when does that drop off happen? So that game was scary to watch just because he had time and there was actually guys wide open for once on like critical third and fourth downs. But yeah, I think at seven, it's Packers or nothing for sure.
Here's what I know. If Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are headed down a path of not being very good anymore, those two teams are fucked because they just gave a massive amount of money to both.
Yep.
And, yeah, they, and there's no getting out of those contracts.
Yeah. Throw the Rams in there too. That's a franchise that looks like it's going to be in trouble for a long time. Thank God for Les Snead that Tart dropped that interception, because
if you tell me that McVay and Stafford call or quits at the end of the year, I Googled it. Matt Stafford's made $300 million. Now his elbow shot and he's got two concussions in like 14 days. Like what's he doing this for?
And you got no draft capital. No. They're going to be, they're going to be in trouble for a while.
Big time. Well, Stucky.
And yeah. By the way, your 49ers, they look, I think they're the best team in the NFC now. Better than the Eagles, better. I haven't powered as the best team, so I think that they're the clear favorite. Now, it obviously can change if that, you know, they're probably not going to get the one seed, which makes it a little tougher. But I think that's the team that they're the team to beat, assuming that they stay healthy, which is always a major question with them. But yeah, they look damn good.
Their high end weapons are pretty stupid. I mean, they go about four or five deep of like Pro Bowl impact guys that all can score basically at any moment. And Elijah Mitchell is a really, really good running back to go along with it. So, yeah, I would say they're one downfall.
That defense at fully healthy.
Yeah.
That defense, if they get fully healthy, is very good.
As long as Jimmy, I mean, they don't even need Monday night Jimmy. They just need Jimmy to be solid and they can play with anybody.
Yeah, you have a game where every once in a while he'll have two head scratching picks.
Yeah.
And that'll cost you in the playoffs. That's what you have to avoid.
Their biggest advantage, bro, is that the NFC, you ain't looking at Mahomes. You don't have to play Josh Allen. You know, you don't have to in the first round see Lamar Jackson. You know, you're getting, you know, Geno Smith. Hell, maybe Daniel Jones, right? They played Dak Prescott last year and they kicked their ass. You know, they kind of came back at the end because Jimmy threw a pick, but they worked the Cowboys. Now, I do think the Cowboys probably a little better this year. That front feels a little more potent. That dude Sam Williams they drafted is pretty good. Obviously, Micah's even better. So they are like that. I think the Cowboys can be a tough out. But like the Eagles, like, I mean, I like the Eagles roster, obviously, but we'll wait and see when Jalen wins a playoff game, right?
Yep. Yeah. And you can, but both of those teams, the Eagles and the Cowboys, can be run on a little bit. And that's good news for the 49ers. And the 49ers, the way that they're built, which should have no issues if they have to go on the road in the playoffs.
Kyle belongs like coaching in like 1982, where you can just call run plays every single play.
Yep, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
More weather, the better.
Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck. Let's make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving and good luck on all your wagers. I'll see you guys next week.
The Volume.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.